Coming to you live from Southwest Louisiana, this is the Hospitality Room Podcast with your host, Mr. Chuck P.
Been dazed and confused for so long, it's not true. Wanted a woman, never bargained for you. Lots of people talking, few of them know. Soul of a woman was created for love.
To the hospitality room. Still, we're still dazed and confused. This is the second, third week of February. Mr. J. Adam, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, making it.
I hear that. This podcast is found at thehospitalityroom.com. You can also reach us on Twitter at hospitalityroom. On Facebook, that is facebook.com/hospitalityroom. We're also on Google Plus. Just type in hospitality room in the search bar and we shall pop up. And for all other questions, comments, send us an email at info@thehospitalityroom.com. Sir. Sir, I'm just first article up. We're gonna get into some politics. We haven't talked politics in a while, and we're not really gonna get deep into politics. It's just setting it up a little bit. First article: our friend Scott Walker made comments a couple of weeks ago. And those comments were that he voted for Ronald Reagan. And if you don't know, for everybody that doesn't know, Ronald Reagan ran for president in 1980. Okay? Scott Walker was born on November 2nd. 1967.
That's voter fraud.
I'm just saying. And the exact quote was, I remember I was a teenager, just had become a teenager and voted for Ronald Reagan. Limited government, you know, smaller government, lower taxes, strong national defense. Sir, do you have anything to say about this? I have a few questions. Are all the voter suppression laws, is that because the people that want to enact the laws broke the law years ago? Could that be a possibility? Or maybe it's because they had the opportunity to do it when they were younger, and now they want to stop the children now from going and vote twice or anything like that. You understand? So something of that sort. That's what I'm thinking.
No. I think, and what really happened was, for so long, they could count on the, this vote coming up, the midterm election. They could count for the old white vote coming out. And nowadays, with so many people being pissed off, there's a lot of voters that they can't account for. They've created a monster between the Tea Party and Occupy movements that has people disenfranchised and disenchanted with what the two-party system currently offers. And so they understand people are now getting to the point where they don't want to vote for either one of those candidates. And the gerrymandering itself, that they changed the laws, the voting districts, has been changed in the last two census cycles, 2000 and 2010. And essentially what's happened now is the white population is becoming a bigger minority and the Latino population is rising. They're going to become the majority. And so the voters, now they know this, so they have to – they've been so hateful and wrong in their policies and things they would say on TV that they know there's no way to come back and get those voters back. So now you just got to keep them from voting, because not only do you have people that want to vote, they're pissed off at you and want to vote. So you know how that's going to come about. It's not going to be a good outcome for you. So you got to prevent them from voting and get your people out to vote to reassure your election.
Yeah, I understand. And since all of this is going on, the right has made an effort to henceforth suppress the vote even more towards the other side by like enacting laws where you have to have a driver's license or some type of valid ID. And a lot of people don't even have an ID, and they have no way to get to the local DMV to get a said license.
I've seen a quote from a senator. I don't know if it's from West Virginia, Texas, where exactly. It was one of these southern states, and he proposed that making it required to own land to vote again, something that they did away with 200 years ago. And the people that were supporting it don't even realize they don't own the land they're on. That they might own the home, or they had the home finance. But technically, the bank owns most land. How many people have their stuff paid off with no mortgages on it? That's owned by whoever has your mortgage. You don't own that land, so technically you have no right to vote.
Yeah.
And these are people supporting that. This is common folks that wants the government out of their lives supporting this.
I don't know what to say about our people. Everybody was a chance, like especially out here, everybody was a chance to make more money, but they refused to let money come into the town. And that shit baffles me.
Well, I've met quite a few people here, and I've been encouraged. Like, I had gave up hope on people around here, and I've been talking about getting away from here. There's people here that are angry. They have genuine anger. But I've noticed that it's trying to get them anger in the right direction. That once you sit them down, you explain to them, and you show them the bigger picture of what's going on. Because a lot of times people cling to conspiracy theories and such that, like, these things happen for a set specific reason. And they just give up hope. Like, they think that it's something bigger than them controlling it. Like, they have no hand in the outcome. And trying to show them to get rid of that defeatist attitude that everyone still has a responsibility to make something happen. Because there's a lot of angry people. And if we're all angry about the same thing, something will have to change. It's just getting everyone angry about the same issue.
Yeah. To that, I don't have like a continuation to go on after to piggyback on you about that, because we feel the same way. It's like, I know for a fact that it's not just me and you and a few other people that are like fed up with the way the system is run around here, not just around here in the whole country. But it's so difficult for us to get together and to express the way we feel. Or it's like our voice is not big enough than the Let's just call it the Duck Dynasty voice.
Well, they have the traditional media on their side. That, like, they what gets me is Fox News advertises, and I'm going to go MSNBC too, so this is not just a one-way bias. We're going to crush the right. But Fox News talks about mainstream media. But then at the end of their show or the beginning of the next show, their advertisement is how they're the number one watched news station in America.
Exactly.
So by that virtue, how can you not consider yourself mainstream media if you're the most watched? Like, that would make you mainstream, and these others would be the fringe media elements. But they want to put them off as being this liberal media, which there is, and it happens on both sides. Under the Republican administration, Fox News loaded up with a whole bunch of Bush administration officials in their media section. And the same thing's happening now with MSNBC and the right. I mean, that's always happened where the journalists have hunkered in, but not to this part, not such a corporate buy-off of the media. Like, both media is bought and paid for, and they puppets to do what they're selling a product, essentially. Anything on TV is to sell some sort of product of advertising.
And I'm not down with that. That's one of the reasons I really don't pay attention to the news. If I don't get on the computer and see what's going on, I would be lost. Because the news, I hate that every show has to have a two-sided argument about each subject that they do. It's terrible. Sometimes the article, it doesn't call for that. Sometimes it's just, yeah, Beretta did that shit.
And for more bad news, I see, like, on Facebook and different things, people post articles to these websites that are supposedly news sites. And everyone links, and like the story starts in the morning, you'll see it posted once. And then by like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, it's spread across everyone's Facebook. Like, this is breaking news. But just with a few minutes of research of who owns this website and what it is, it's essentially the same thing that the media on TV is doing, but people have figured out how to do this on their own to draw views.
Yeah,
and you can pretty much tell a demographic of who's going to the website and what the news article is going to be before you even get there.
Yeah, like, i.e. example. I joined the Support Duck Dynasty, Boycott A&E, whatever. I joined that group just for kicks, just for the fuck of it. Just, oh well, we're going to try it out. We're going to see what's going on this end. Okay, so now, as you know, the Duck Dynasty thing is over with. The bullshit show is back on, and I don't particularly find it funny. I just see a bunch of rednecks doing semi funny stuff and thinking that they're overhyping like semi funny comedy, and it's really not that funny at all. But anyway, since Duck Dynasty is gone, like the controversy is gone. Every article that comes out on that group is something dealing with Obamacare, Obama, some type of Obama conspiracy, something about welfare, every article. I would go back and browse it, but I don't have to. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes,
And the shit is terrible. It's not, it's like, oh yeah, we're going to piggyback on this situation that's going on now, and as soon as it's over, we're just going to kick in our bullshit ideology to you and throw you out questions that make people comment and make you keep going back to that site or that page and giving them more and more clicks.
Well, what I've noticed is a lot of those folks, another identifier you're going to have amongst them is it's not just Christians, because I've learned now that there's different levels of that. It's not the normal Christians. This isn't like, it's an extreme group of Christians that they bond together over this. And for some reason, they see Obama as being, I guess, the Antichrist or the devil, or I don't know exactly how they see him. But no matter what he does or says, like, they feel like they have to band against him, the opposite of whatever it is. Like, no matter what it's going to be, in the name of Jesus, they have to stop it. And that's why I say it's. Oh, shit, my bad.
Oh, that's fine.
the Xbox just turned itself on and started playing music. That's the NSA listening to us. Uh-huh. I had to unplug that Kinect.
Cover up your IP, everybody.
But back to what I was saying, the Christians that watch this show, they find these small issues to bound together because the Benghazi issue, there's no more to that. The Kenyan no birth certificate, there's no more to that 8 years later. So now they're finding, they're just pulling straws to anything they can to stay together.
Yeah. And that's the drag that I don't like. It's like you have all this time to show like real information, and after you show all the real information for the day, you're gonna have about what 18 hours left of airtime. So they have to do something. They have to put some type of filler in there too. And then they do stuff. They put on shows to get ratings. Like MSNBC, every weekend is either To Catch a Predator or Lock Up. Well, Lock Up every weekend. Like, fuck that. Lock Up will be on.
But we have to look who owns these companies and what their demographic they're going after. Because, I mean, the main thing, these shows, it's advertising. The content that they show between commercials is not as important as the commercials are to the stations themselves. Yeah. So you can kind of tell what they're after by the commercials they show. And so if you ever watch those long marathons over the weekends, the commercials they have, it makes you wonder, like, do they really want you to conform that much? They scare the shit out of you. And you can tell it's old people they're after. I don't know who they expect to watch that.
Mm-hmm. First Alert. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
It's just, we know that the media is rigged, kind of like we know the government's rigged. And when I say we, not just us, we as American people, like, we assume this already. It's kind of like the Snowden leaks. Like, we assume the government's spying on us, but then when we find out, we freak out, like, hey, I cannot believe this is happening, even though for the last 20 years we knew it was happening or we assumed it was happening. But the reaffirmation of what we believe, our fears, like, just instills. And then you have one group that's what we consider conspiracy theorists or whatever that's been saying this for so long. And it's like, now they're right. So you have to kind of reexamine other things they say. And so I've heard a famous one, Alex Jones, he's now, I hear him criticized as being a CIA agent because he didn't stay far enough out in the loony bin. Like, he says crazy stuff, but then he says some real stuff and then he says crazy stuff. Because all they got to do is confuse us. They don't have to, it doesn't take a big conspiracy. You don't have to, I mean, you can tell someone the truth. You just buried it in so much nonsense that people don't even pay attention to the actual truth of it. They just pay attention to the beauty of it, the outer beauty.
Yeah, like,
let's just see what happens. I guarantee you that most of the, like, the important issues that will happen this year will start in, we're going to say, June, right when the basketball playoffs start to get good. Like, we're going to go with the week of the conference finals, when the conference finals begins, and we're going to keep it rolling all the way up until February. In that whole gap from June to February, that's where the shit is going down. Because you know what comes on after basketball, right? The real American sport.
It's that time.
Yes.
That's right.
The real American sport.
The largest consumerist invention ever. Capitalism at its finest.
Let's just send a couple of drones like 2 days before opening Sunday. Let's just, hey, fuck it. Shit blew up. Oh, something blew up in Afghanistan and MSNBC reports, blah, 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 blah. And then 2 days later, football is over with. We don't care about this shit anymore. Fuck it. Football. That's how it goes, sir.
speaking of That's How It Goes,
conservative hero Joe the Plumber takes union job with Chrysler.
Fuck that dude. I have no words for him.
He has no words either. He has a job with Obamacare. With it. Like, he gets guaranteed Obamacare. Fuck it. I'm good. I'm good, sir.
Fuck Joe the Plumber.
Oh, shit.
He built it. He built that.
And he joined the union, sir. On top of that. He admitted that it sounded like hypocrisy.
Do as I say, not as I do, young one.
He works for a company that received $1.3 billion in bailout money.
For any Louisiana listeners out here, it's got to sound real familiar to y'all. Sell out, motherfucker.
Whoo, doggy. Okay, yes. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't it sound familiar? Well, side though, well, yeah, we're gonna talk about this right quick. I've been hearing that, like, in local shit, I've been hearing that people don't want to vote for Mary Landrieu.
I don't want to vote for Mary Landrieu.
But who's been voting for any of them? Who's been voting for her before if nobody wants to vote for her now? Like, seriously.
The white Democrats in New Orleans?
No,
actually,
no.
I take that back.
No. Because Mary Landrieu, to me, at this point, is a Republican.
I was just about to say that. That's exactly right. She's a blue dog Democrat or a Southern Democrat, whatever the code word is for it, but that's really all it is Republican.
She's in the same clique with Joe the Plumber.
Huh, that's correct.
We can say that. It's a stretch, but we can say that. Because Joe the Plumber was the person that rallied against the bailouts. But I guess times got hard. We're just going to say times got hard. Times got hard and Joe had to go work for Chrysler.
Say it ain't so, Joe.
He goes on to say in this interview that he was outside at his first day after his 3 days of orientation. He was outside smoking a cigarette and somebody called him a teabagger from across the way. He went on to define teabagger as a gay slur, which I don't think it was a gay slur. I don't think it was meant as a gay slur. Is teabagger a gay slur?
Only if he's gay, I guess you could consider it a gay slur.
I think it was just somebody calling him out for riding with the Tea Party back in 2008. I'm just saying.
That's what we know it is, but I mean, if he's taking it that way, that must mean he's coming out the closet to everyone, and that would explain a lot more. He had a lot of pent-up frustration back in 2008. Now he can be who he wants. He go on and get Obamacare. He just had to let his inner child out, I guess.
Didn't Joe the Plumber run for? Wasn't he running for Congress or something? Wasn't he trying to be a representative? What happened with that?
The same thing that happened to Sarah Palin.
Oh man, poor Joe the Plumber. Where's Buddy's at now? That was in the background with him clapping when he was talking.
They probably got the APB out for him.
Those people are still sitting in Congress right now and in the Senate making their money. That's what's going on. That's where they are.
That's and where's Joe the Plumber?
And where's Joe the Plumber?
I need to know what district he's in to know what senator hooked him up with that. I'm calling it.
Oh, man. Joe the Plumber. All right, sir. And in other news, studies claim medical marijuana may reduce suicide rates and traffic fatalities.
That's that liberal media bias you're reading.
You think is that bullshit that I'm reading?
Fox News said that the medical marijuana, the legalization of marijuana in Colorado has led to more marijuana DUIs.
But, I mean, this study is from, this is from PBS.org.
That's liberal media station right there, owned by the Koch brothers. Owned and paid for by the Koch brothers. Remember we were talking about the Tea Party a few minutes ago? They own that liberal media station. How's that happen? How's it a liberal media station when the Tea Party owns it? I don't understand.
The study, co-written by professors from Montana State, San Diego State, and the University of Colorado at Denver, analyzed 17 years' worth of statistics in search of shifts in suicide rates per 10,000 people in states where medical marijuana was legal from 1990 to 2007. Using the statistics of the states in which marijuana is still legal and the control group, the study's authors concluded that the states with legal medical marijuana, the suicide rates for males aged 20 to 29 decreased 10.9%, and men aged 30 to 39 saw a decrease of 9.4%.
I could testify that it might not have been that extreme, but it has gotten me through some tough times. I don't know about anything that far gone.
Yeah.
But I could see that. Like, I could see the legitimacy behind that.
I believe if they would just make it legal, like, it would help out more people than it would hurt.
Well, the story I was talking about with the DUI.
And then we would. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say part of the research that was done was at the same time that the marijuana DUIs had increased, the alcohol DUIs had decreased by about the same percentage. And so one would be led to think that if the alcohol DUIs go down a certain percentage and the marijuana goes up, that it's probably a good chance that the people that were drinking and driving – we're now smoking and driving. But part of the flaw of that whole study in general is they tried to say that they only tested people that were smoking the day of driving within like a few hours before. But the marijuana test they were using would test up to a week. So if you smoked within the last week, they would say you were high while you were driving.
Yeah.
So this is going to be one of those stories where depending which news source you get your information from, it can be swayed.
And when I said hurt, we have to define hurt. Because if it's just like a simple tactic to weed, like that weeds out like people that are addicts from the common person, the common recreational user, that is not hurting those addicts. Not in my book, not by my definition of hurt. It's not causing them pain. Choice is not pain. Period. So, I don't know. I think you just give it a chance. That's what the fuck is wrong with everybody now. They don't want to give shit a chance. Just give everything a chance, man.
Well, like I said years ago, that it's going to be a two-pronged approach to get it people to accept it. And depending what group you're talking to, it depends what tactic you're going to need. Because here in the South, one of the worst things that happened was when Obama came out and said, like, he spoke not ill of it. Where he came out, he didn't say that everyone should be legal for everyone or anything like that. But he made it where he said that it's on the same level as alcohol, which for a sitting U.S. president is kind of substantial. But people here, as soon as he said that, they're automatically against marijuana now just because he mentioned it. And he's already the worst president because he wants to legalize pot now, even though he never even said that.
Yeah, but of course, but if you call that state bigoted, then the whole race thing comes into issue. But that is, to me, that is the only reason they are so vehemently against it. Because if it was Bill Clinton that was doing the same thing, people would at least, they wouldn't be so quick to shoot it down. They would still have the group that would, but I'm serious. Everybody wouldn't.
Well, what I think you're going to see is there's going to be the right wing are the ones that the Tea Party, so-called, the libertarians, we want government out. Like, it's such an easy issue for them to jump in and say, we're Americans, we're adults. At 21, you should be able to do whatever the hell you want. No one else say so. Because there's even liberals that are against it, and there's Republicans that are for it. Like, this is one of the issues where, since it's election time, you're going to see people that probably wouldn't normally jump on it. But the simple here in just Louisiana, they love God and country. So to set the framework for how we should approach these people just here locally, you show them that the Declaration of Independence is wrote on hemp, and you explain to them what hemp is, because they believe marijuana and hemp's the same plant, and it has nothing to do with each other. It's two completely different plants.
Yes.
And so if you kind of explain to them the differences, and because what happens, we get lost in the media portrays with Reefer Madness and these different shows that portray it's all 16-year-old stoners that are always doing something stupid. And so here it's still taboo around. So first thing we have to do is show that normal people do this. And an easier way to even get people around here to accept this is we have so many different religions that it was actually used as a sacrament during the early days of Christianity. Like, this is, they use it as a holy oil. It was used for different things. And so if it's approached as a civil right, or not civil rights, as a freedoms thing, as a kind of from the Bill of Rights standpoint, that it's, we have the right to do whatever we want. It's our own thing. You can grow it. Why can't we? Type of thing. We shouldn't even tax it. So we should be able to get support from them for that. We should also be able to get them in, because they talk about individual business and growing, the entrepreneurial side, because once weed's legal, they have no reason to keep hemp illegal. And I believe that's still the biggest strong point of what's keeping marijuana illegal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because just the number of uses for hemp scares the shit out of people to have chemicals.
Yeah, the big chemical companies, what's remaining left of the big lumber companies, you know, people. Like, it's not like they still don't have stake in in the pencil making business and all that. But yeah, paper, all that other stuff, yes, definitely. But I don't know, maybe it just might be one of those hidden assets that the government is trying to keep on lock until we run out of one, so we don't run out of both simultaneously. I don't know.
Biggest thing that's happened here in history now, like Colorado and them legalizing weed, was like one of the biggest landmarks. Like, when we look back in the history books, like, that's going to be a huge thing. But just a few days ago, the Department of Justice came out, and now they're going to set rules that banks can actually participate in the marijuana industry. So essentially, what just happened this past week was the federal government legalized it already. By all intents and purposes, weed has now been legalized, not officially, but they're allowing big corporations to now participate. So we have to assume that all you hear on TV and you hear around is this booming marijuana industry that's going to be billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. And as cigarettes are becoming more and more outlawed, you have to think that these companies have all this land to grow tobacco and everything else. Well, that's easy to transfer, and it's going to be easier to grow, easier to maintain. Now, from the freedom side and the other side of it, kind of don't really want to see that, but I know it's going to take their money and their will to push this through to get something done. And that's what I guess I hope happens to an extent. Because eventually it's going to end up, it's going to be the same fight where we're fighting the Monsanto of this industry or a Walmart of this industry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's just say it gets to that point. Would you, okay, it's legal and now it is corporatized as a big corporation that just grows marijuana in a field. Let's just say somewhere in North Dakota or something like that, some crazy shit. Let's just say that happens. And now, it's not really a monopoly, but it's, you can get marijuana just like you go and get a pack of cigarettes.
At right, point, I see that coming.
At that point, is the fight over?
Well, that kind of, that's where everything else, just like, that's what concerns me about this whole issue in general, is once this is legalized to an extent, because some people are happy with it being taxed and such, and I'm kind of on the fence about that.
Yeah, and because let's just say we're gonna lose 20% of the group, because once it becomes legal, they're just not gonna come and be high.
Yeah, they're not gonna care about shit anymore. Yeah. That's the only thing. And so, you take those people out, then you're going to have another group. They're going to be divided over who pay taxes, or should it be completely legal, tax-free, which is kind of – I see that from both sides, where it should be taxed if you buy it from like a like a commercial or something like that if you go to – but if you grow it yourself, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, correct.
Kind of like – so I think as bad as it would be, as long as we have an option or a choice, like – I can tolerate them having, because I mean, you can go to Walmart or any chain store and buy a tomato, or you can grow a tomato yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, you have that choice, and that's all I'm asking for. That's really all I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'm. To me, like seriously, I'm done. I'm done at the point of legalization, where it's like at the gas station, is that Valero or something like that. I'm done. Anything past that, I'll have to hear the argument, and then I'll decide then.
Well, I mean, I could take it like, because like in California stuff, they have liquor stores. They don't sell alcohol at every store like we do here. And I can see that. I can see having special places for it, or even selling it. I mean, having that specific product, but not being necessarily that only product. But I don't necessarily, because I don't think the market could handle it being literally everywhere, unless they do put a chemical like cigarettes on it.
And that's my next thing. I need to see, like, that was my next thing going off the study that we were talking about the suicide rates. Well, also in this study, it showed that, traffic fatalities decreased between 8% and 11% in states where marijuana is legal the first year after legalization, which is another good stat to me. 11% is better than 1%. It's not a lot, but it's still something. The researchers explain that opponents of legalizing marijuana point to the large number of studies showing marijuana use is positively associated with depression, the onset of panic attacks, psychosis, schizophrenia, and suicidal ideation.
You know, I think with a study like that, what always gets me is like they bring up the paranoia and schizophrenia, and it's like, I find myself when I'm here where it's completely illegal. I mean, it's a felony. You get caught with an ounce and all kind of other shit. I mean, there's jail time involved with it. You get caught here. But then when you go to other states, not even legal states, but just medical states, and people are smoking in the open, and it's like someone like me, I'm still paranoid. I see it around, like whenever I'm around it, I still have this thought like, my God, at any time they're going to come and arrest me.
Yep.
But there's no one even caring. Like, that's the least on the list of problems there. That's at the very, 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 very bottom, if it's even on that list of problems.
Yeah.
And that's what I say there. You see such a wide variety of people do it. It's not just like here where there's very few people. When you see a stoner crowd that has the stereotype, generally it's young kids that are doing teenage dumb shit. Whether if it wouldn't be smoking pot, it would still be doing something dumb, most likely. So the acceptance, the interaction with it, I mean, it's the same thing they have with, it's taken them this long with racism, and they've had to live amongst different races, and they still can't accept it. So there's going to be some people that just can't ever accept change, no matter what happens.
Yeah.
But there is a wide swath of support for it. Like, that's one thing that I've noticed that here lately, because I guess people have painted themselves into a corner with the political debate about they want to be libertarians, they want to be attributed to Republican and Democrat. And then when it comes to marijuana, because some of the same people used to always say, well, I would smoke it, but it's illegal. Or I would do this, but it's illegal. Like, they're really afraid of the illegality part of it.
Yeah.
And so now here that the legalization movement's coming, I hear people say, well, I don't smoke it, but I do support the legalization of it. Because 9 times out of 10, those same people know one or more people that do smoke and realize that the stereotype that's portrayed is not what these people are. Like, people are going to be who they are, no matter what type of drug or whatever they use to cover it up. People that drink, if they're an asshole when they drink, they might be the sweetest person you know, but that's still a part of them, the assholeness. It just takes the alcohol to bring it out of them. So people are going to do dumb shit no matter what drug or whatever it is you can call it. People that sober do dumb shit.
Yeah. You know, like, no matter if we can become legal and some, and like, some people still just drink because that's what they do. They get their jack and sip on it.
That's it. And they don't tear shit up
and drink. That's what
drinkers,
you do.
Not all drinkers fuck shit up. Not all drinkers are assholes. It's a certain personality that's just assholes.
And like I said, my second, I need to see a study from like the cigarette corporations and see if their cigarette sales like dramatically dropped in the states where marijuana is illegal. I need to see that. I mean, I could see like a 5% dip, but I don't think that tobacco sales will drop if marijuana becomes legal. And if it does, it's not going to be by no more than 10%, which is not hurting the big tobacco companies. Seriously.
I mean, the sales of tobacco is dropping every year anyways.
Yeah.
That's why I say they would be the ones that I would assume that do the transition. Like, the corporation side of it sees the money in it, and it makes sense. Like, for them as a product, it makes sense on the bottom line. Like, for them, it will make money. Especially, and because what I say, a bigger part of that is it might not necessarily be packs of rolled joints or anything, but the e-cigarettes, that vaporizers and stuff that these things can now do, where people don't even know what's being done or what someone's doing. There's no taste, no smell.
Yeah. I have one more article before we get into the second part of this show.
But one more thing I want to say on that before we move on.
Yes.
Is, like, once, as this discussion about legalization becomes more, I'm really interested to find out what happens with hemp. Like, honestly, I mean, I'm all for marijuana legalization, but there's a part of me that I want to know either how they're going to frame to keep that illegal and how they're going to try to explain to keep it illegal, or are they going to let that go with it, or are they going to accept that?
Because in any argument that they try to articulate is bullshit. Like, seriously, it would be direct. It's just like a big pile of bullshit.
And that's what, I don't know how, because, I mean, you see with politics how one side can twist the other side's view to their people. So I'm just wondering, like, how can they possibly say this? Like, is it going to take job? I don't know. Oh, I'm just wondering their ploy. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it could take jobs, but it's gonna create jobs also. So it's not like it's a win loss. Like, seriously, collateral damage does happen with change. We just have to accept that. But yeah, let's check out this article, because we're not moving away. We're not moving that far away from the legalization talk. See if we can get this to play.
Organization has installed crack. Oh. A not-for-profit organization has installed crack pipe vending machines in Vancouver's troubled downtown East Side neighborhood. The Portland Hotel Society is operating a pair of the machines, which dispense Pyrex glass pipes for 25 cents apiece. Many programs provide pipes for drug users, but generally on a one pipe per person per day basis. The group says allowing users to buy as many pipes as they want will curb the spread of disease, as fewer pipes will be reused.
How do you feel about that, sir?
I like any discussion where we make it more open and we make it less taboo, I think is a good thing. And I think if we can do it safer, like, I would rather do that than send another $1 trillion to fight a war any day of the week.
Yeah, and I mean, but that's the thing, though. Does the money lost in the war on drugs, is that an issue? Or do we count it like we do the military spending?
Well, that's one of those double-sided questions there, too, because that's like military spending and the fact that we have a welfare system created on the drug war, where we have so many jobs that shouldn't exist that are only there because of the drug war and the federal money.
Yes.
So once it's legalized, you're going to have a lot less drug busts, because not as many people do the other hard drugs that they try to scare people with. And so statistically, they can't stop every car on the interstate and have a 80% likelihood of finding them with something illegal in the car anymore. Because the worst thing now is going to be a joint, and you know, that'll be handled if that's legalized everywhere.
To me, like, okay, before I get into what I really wanted to say, we're going to go with this first. I don't think this is terrible. I think this is actually good, and I think they should do this with everything else. Like, seriously, and this is just me. I really do believe that they should, like, the paraphernalia should be available for sale.
Well, I believe, I think it was Toronto, some years back, almost 10 years now. I remember reading they started a program where they would give away needles and stuff. So people that were shooting up, they could go to these places and shoot up with clean needles and things to cut down. And that, like, dramatically cut down on diseases.
Because, I mean, I'm pretty sure, and this is in Vancouver, everybody, before we
get to Vancouver, that's where the heroin needle thing was at.
Yes. But, okay. I'm pretty sure that they sell cigarillos in Vancouver. I'm pretty sure that they sell zigzags in Vancouver. What's the harm of selling a crack pipe? It's not like you have, it's a loaded crack pipe. It's just the pipe.
And not too long ago, I was at a store around here, and the younger days of me, I still consider myself up to on some of the drug in there, like Molly and shit. I'm too old to really know much about it. I've seen people on it or been around it, but I never done Molly or anything. But I was checking out the gas station, and right next to the register, they had this little box with these little roses and these little glass tubes. And so I seen it, and I went about my business, and I stopped by again a couple of days later. And so I'm like, and what the fuck are these for? And so the guy behind the counter, he opened it up and pulled everything apart, and he showed me the glass tube. And I was like, oh, okay. And I thought I was up to the game, man. I didn't realize how they was sliding that out like that. It caught me like, that's when I knew I was old right there. That was official test of being old. I didn't know what the glass tube with a rose in it was about. Now I know. Because I knew the jewelry bags. I know that's not for jewelry. no one has that much jewelry where you need to buy a 50 pack bag.
Yeah. And like, proponents to this argument in Vancouver are like, they're talking about, yeah, we don't want the youth to have access to drug paraphernalia. I mean, and I have children, so what? Like, I understand, but then I don't at the same time because I have the capitalistic mindset. I'm serious. This is how I think. To each his own, everybody. I don't even want to get into it deeper because it's going to start a whole other discussion. To each his own. But, I mean, that's the argument against the crack pipes. I mean, they should have the crack pipes in like the areas where crack is used the most. That would only make sense. It wouldn't make sense to have crack pipes in like the big mall or something. Because then,
all I know,
then at that point that you're attracting crackheads to you, to the fucking spot.
All I know is everyone that is a like legitimate drug user, whatever their drug of choice is, at some point in time has figured out how to rig up some sort of apparatus to ingest whatever it is they're trying to ingest.
Yes.
I mean, from personal experience, I've smoked out of an apple. I've smoked from old Coke can. From bottles. I've made bongs and pipes out of everything. And this is just marijuana. It's all I've smoked. I haven't smoked any of the other stuff. But
gas masks. We continue on. Like, all kinds of crazy shit. Yeah.
I think the people that are against it are people that doesn't really have much interaction or hasn't been around those types of people and what that drug, like, because that's probably the same people that are against that are the same people that think marijuana is horrible. I'm assuming. This is my assumption, and I know you shouldn't assume, but to have that hardline stance against trying to help someone, because see, they think it's just, oh, you're getting free crack pipes, but I would almost bet everything I had that at that same place, there's going to be some sort of literature or something trying to help people quit too. I don't believe they're just going to be a never ending cycle of, here, you can have this, go about your business. I believe they're trying to intervene without forcing someone. Cause an addict is, the worst thing you can do is try to tell them anything. You have to make them think they figured it out on their own.
Understood. And that's the thing, though. I mean, give them a crack pipe. 25 cents.
I mean, you can give them a crack pipe there for 25 cents, or in this country, you can buy insurance that gives you all the good drugs in pill form. No one judges you for. It's like, if we do something in its natural form, we're fucked up. But if you get in the synthetic man-made form, you're part of high society.
Okay, sir.
My bad.
Speaking of high society, are you ready for the next part of the show, sir?
Let's do this.
Ready? Are you ready? I don't think you're ready, but here it goes. All right, that's it.
An English teacher at Davis High School, a well-respected school in Utah, is facing charges that she had sex with a 15-year-old student. 34-year-old Brian Altus was arrested at her home on Monday on two counts of felony sex with a minor. The alleged victim tipped off the Kaysville Police Department about the relationship, which he claims went on for months.
Everyone should feel comfortable sending their their children into their care. And so obviously, having said this, it certainly makes the investigation more delicate.
According to the Deseret News, Altus has several tattoos on her body, and the minor could describe them all in detail. Police are also saying that Altus and the minor had sex in a Kaysville park at least once. Fox 13 Salt Lake is reporting that the victim is now 17 years old, and the affair began when he was 15 and he was a student of hers. Another student said of her, "She always wanted to be well-liked. I just never thought she would do something like this." Altus, who started work in 2004, has been placed on paid administrative leave pending the outcome of the investigation.
Again, from the top.
Yeah. Sir?
I have a corrupt view of that. I don't know. Being a young male, when I was in high school, there are some teachers that I'd like to have had that happen with. But if I had a child, I probably wouldn't be too happy with that.
I'm a stickler for the law, as we all know. So, I mean, sexual assault is sexual assault. Rape is rape.
And since I'm an anarchist and don't believe in much law,
rape
should
rape.
Be legal. Legalize it.
If it was a 34-year-old man fucking his little 15-year-old girl, it's still rape.
That's gross. That's rape.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
One's a dream and the other's a nightmare. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it is a dream. And for some girls, it is a dream also. But you are still preying on the youth, right? And I mean, it's the law. You have to follow the law. I'm pretty sure this woman could, unless she just has this thing for like Twilight and shit like that, and like Glee and the younger looking boys. I'm pretty sure somebody could have passed some penis. Just saying. I'm pretty sure.
She had to find the right victim. I mean, seductress.
Five times. Five times.
I bet that little dude got an A without having to do anything.
He was doing something, but yeah.
But I'm just saying, everybody wins in the end.
Again, from the top. Does life have blood?
Okay, sir.
No such thing as free love. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Capitalism and love too.
Let's see. Next article. That's enough. We know what's going on now. Everybody should know what's going on at this point. Let's see what this article has to say. Oh my God.
Been arrested and charged with child rape. She was booked into the Pierce County Jail just a few hours ago.
Sources tell Cairo 7 there may be as many as three victims. Our Kevin McCarty is live in Tacoma. He has exclusive details on the arrest and the teacher's background. Kevin.
Steve, what we know at this point is that this teacher's been employed by the Tacoma Public School District for a little more than a year. We know that the victims are all boy students, three of them at least, and that we're told by a source that they are conflicted and confused by the charges and this teacher's arrest. Right now, she's in the Pierce County Jail while Tacoma police continue their investigation and look into the possibility of even more victims. 24-year-old Meredith Powell was booked into the Pierce County Jail this afternoon on suspicion of third-degree child rape and communicating with a minor for immoral purposes. A Tacoma Public School District spokesman says it was an anonymous tip on Tuesday.
What the fuck was that charge? Hold up, sir. Hold up.
Hold up.
For immoral purposes.
What is that? What is immoral purposes?
County jail this afternoon on suspicion of third degree
listening to the devil music rock and roll.
Minor for immoral purses.
Communicating with a minor for immoral purposes.
On Tuesday that led to her arrest.
Sounds like a bullshit law made up.
Now, I mean, like, I'll send you the link to this. I mean, I'm just saying, like, she doesn't look that bad. Again, I'm just saying, she doesn't look that bad.
I know a story. Can't give any names out, of course, for their protection, that had a similar situation happen to them with teachers, and I'd have probably been happy to have this teacher as compared to what they had. That's all I'm saying.
Meredith Powell allegedly performed oral sex on a 15-year-old and in a separate incident had sexual contact with a 15-year-old while the rest of the school was attending an assembly last month. Court documents say Powell also allegedly sent one of the students a nude photo of herself in a bathtub through Snapchat. Come on, man. Are you serious? You're 24. Mate. Oh, my God.
I mean, I think I could understand if, like, the students would be 18.
That's what I'm saying.
Attraction to a 15-year-old.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Physically, what kind of attraction? Because, I mean, as bad as it sounds, it's one thing, like, dudes that have an attraction to younger chicks kind of goes with it. It's not every younger chick. It's usually most younger chicks that are developed earlier. And so some of them you cannot tell the age. So there is an attraction just because of body parts. But I mean, I don't know. I just don't. The average 15-year-old kid looks like a 15-year-old kid.
Yes.
I don't understand how you can have an attraction to a 15-year-old kid.
Yes, boy or girl, they still look alike. Like, seriously. If we just talking about the average looking 15-year-old child. Serious. Okay. Next up. Man, Benson getting some fucking work tonight, huh? God damn. Ohio school bus driver gets a month in jail for sex with 14-year-old student on bus. On the bus, man! On the bus! On the fucking bus. A 23-year-old bus driver for a school of students with emotional and behavioral problems will spend a month in jail after she took a 14-year-old student to a secluded spot and had sex with him on the bus. Amanda Brazzi will also spend 3 years on probation and be registered as a sex offender for the next 25 years.
I believe it, because I've never seen a bus driver worth having sex with, so I can believe that. That's not an attractive occupation from what I've seen.
I'm only laughing at the joke you made. I'm not laughing at this incident. It only took the jury 4 minutes. Yes! It wasn't even like, oh man, we don't even need to get drinks. Look, we just all walked in. Yeah, bitch guilty. Sent her to jail. Whatever she gonna get, she got guilty.
Can't rape nobody on the bus.
Both Browser and her victim testified, and both claimed the oral sex and intercourse was consensual. Of course, the dude would say it's consensual. Why wouldn't he? Especially in this misogynistic society, why would he say that he got raped? He wouldn't believe that shit anyway. He wouldn't believe that he got raped. Oh, man. Come on, Benson, man. We need you to start shooting some of these people. On the show and in real life.
But according to Benson on the show, all these people got molested by their parents. That's why this happened.
Sir, you are absolutely right about this. So instead, we're gonna just do this one now. From now on. we just gonna run the Briscoe and Green, sir. That's all we're gonna do. Briscoe and Green.
They keep it a little more real.
Man, this shit is sick. This is sick. This is a serious offense, whether it's consensual or not. If you were a man and this were a 14-year-old girl, the whole community would have been up in arms if I didn't give you jail time. And you deserve jail time, said the judge. The little boy snitched to his mother and the principal. So, yeah. This lady here is crazy. And, it is, like, it's gross. It's gross to have sex with minors. That's what we need to tell the children. Because the people now, we fuck, because we got to live with the people that we have. We can't change their minds, but we can do something about what. Okay, and before we go, we have. And I didn't know if you were on to this or not, but we did talk, me and my wife, we talked about this. Locally there was, a 911 call made to the police station, you know, the 911 operator. And it was a guy following a white SUV or whatever it was. It was a vehicle. It was going in and out of control. And like, it was swerving all over the roads and stuff. And the man called the police and he followed the lady. And then the police eventually got behind her. And they followed her to a house where she got out and they gave a citation for some, I believe it was open container or something like that. And the lady happened to be a federal judge. And the first few days, to me, they were just trying to sweep this under the rug. And I thought it was going to get swept under the rug, but it didn't. And that surprised me. But I have a little article. Well, I have a video, I'm sorry, to play about the situation that happened. And let's give it a play. Let's hear this article.
body and mind may be questioned.
We're going to hear a commercial first.
Never underestimate the strength.
Well, I'll continue on while this commercial.
Sorry about that.
Oh, you good? I was just giving everybody a briefing on what happened. And, well, before I play this article, well, I keep saying article, it's the video. Before I play the video, sir, her name, Patricia Minaldi, right? That's what it was.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I heard this bullshit on the news. I heard this bullshit.
We gotta put a picture up too, though. We gotta have to have a picture to go with.
Oh, her picture might, since we talked about this last, her picture is gonna be the picture for the show. Like, that's what it's gonna be. Patricia Minaldi. I was in here and I told
federal judge permission.
I told her, I was like, this motherfucker about to get off, man, because they talked about it so quick. Like, and everybody, KPLC, Channel 7, the local news, they will expose you at times. Whether they're behind you or not, they will throw you under the bus and expose you. But they talked about this article. I mean, they talked about this, they talked about this so quick.
They tried to pass it over real quick.
Like, The story was over faster than my little summation was of the incident when I seen it, that I just talked about 2 minutes back. If you rewind it 2 minutes back, is the Cynthia came on, talked 2 minutes about this shit and left. Bam. Oh, next story. The weather is going to be warming up down here. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. The man followed this woman down the road. She was swerving. The police got behind her. And she was still swerving. And she swerved to her house. Really?
That's not even the best part. The best part is when they get there.
Yes, what was the charge that they gave? Open container or something? Something of that sort?
Well, hold on. Before that even, when she gets to her house, the police pull up behind her. And they come out and they're trying to get her out the car. And she won't come out the car.
Man, I wish I could find the story when it first came out with the little dude talking from the sheriff's office. He had the biggest broom out as he was talking, and he was just sweeping all this shit under the rug. Oh, this is a separate charge. This is the only charge she's going to be charged with. Blah, 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 blah. As far as we're concerned, that they're here, that this case is over with. Blah, 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 blah. But here's what happened. Oh, let's see. I might have to start it over again since I just blew up the whole browser. Let's see. Yeah, let's try it again.
That's the NSA after. You know what you're talking about? That George Bush appointed
Patricia Minaldi. Late this afternoon, police made a big decision in the investigation. KPLC's Jaron Jordan is live outside of police headquarters with the details.
Cynthia, the Lake Charles police now say their investigation into an alcohol-related traffic stop involving federal judge Patricia Minaldi is complete. In addition to an open container citation, police say she will be charged with first offense DWI. Now, the police have also granted our request.
Never man, get the fuck out of here, man.
And what it shows may be the reason that additional charge was brought. By the time this patrol car arrives to Judge Patricia Minaldi's house on Fairway Drive in South Lake Charles, police have already established the reason she was stopped.
When I finally saw you driving, you were driving extremely recklessly. I saw you cross the solid line several times.
Several times.
The observation is that Minaldi is incapable of operating a vehicle and asked if he can step out of the car so he can administer a field sobriety test.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, well, I need you to step out the car anyway then.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay, you can refuse a field sobriety test, but it still needs you to step out of the car then.
Yeah.
Despite a number of repeated attempts to get Minaldi to get out of her car, her answer never changes.
Now, Mrs. Minaldi, would you please get out of your car?
Right.
Sorry, Judge Minaldi, would you please get out of your vehicle?
No.
My supervisor asked you to get out of the car and get out for him?
No.
You're not going to get out for him either?
No.
Now I'm ordering you to get out of your vehicle.
All right, I got to stop this right now. Right.
Sir, how many times did they ask this lady to get out the car?
Oh, a whole bunch.
Let's just say they'd have asked
anyone else before they shot or tased them.
Let's just say this was Chuck P that they were asking to get out of the car.
You got shot. You
wouldn't hear. The over under is 2. And I'm going for the under. Really, get out of the car. Okay? No English. No, I ain't getting out of this car. No. Ma'am, will you please get out of the car? Judge, please. Please get out of the car. Please. Please. No, we're not going to tase you or nothing. Just please get out of the car.
If there would have been no 911 calls about her, that would have been gone. But because there was 911 calls, something had to be done.
And I'm glad somebody dry snitched.
Because, me too.
Yeah. The 911 call reported an erratic driver at the intersection of McNeese and Canal Streets. Busy intersection. Busy. Around 1:25 p.m. Real busy. They showed her swerving in the streets.
She had to sit sideways swerving.
It's fucked up, man. This is fucked up.
But you can't smoke a joint at your house.
It's fucked up. But anyway, gonna wrap this up now. We're gonna have more about this as we get more information about it. But as you know, find us on iTunes, Podomatic, and also on Stitcher Radio. Check out thehospitalityroom.com. Check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Google+.
We out here.
And until next week, everybody, have a great evening.